so much that we got to call God down or we got to call forth the gifts. What we have to do is our prayer needs to be, Lord, awaken us to what's already there. We want to be able to exercise the power that we've been baptized in. Now remember, we said that baptism means to take something and it's like a cloth being put into dye, and it becomes part of the fabric. The dye becomes part of the fabric of which it's dying. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the same thing. It's we're baptized into the power. It becomes part of us, and part of the reason that we don't move in it is that we're not aware of it. We're not awakened to it. We're not revived to it. And I believe that God wants to do that. See, because the power, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not so much on what's on the outside of us, although you will see that, but it's the ability to be changed from within so that it becomes part of our very being, and then that's what's seen. Does that make sense? Yeah. So today I want to speak about a particular aspect of that power. Now, when the Holy Spirit was given and we were baptized in the Holy Spirit as believers in Christ, the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit comes in various ways. One of the ways it comes is in its mercy, in God's mercy toward us. And sometimes it's in the grace of God that's in his compassion. But sometimes there's this thing that's called the spirit or a spirit of wisdom and power, or power and wisdom. And Paul speaks about it in Ephesians. So let me read this, Ephesians 1, starting at verse 15. Listen carefully. Paul speaking to the Ephesian church. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the number one thing. Our faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for each other, for the saints. Faith and love are the two elemental things that would allow us to be able to move in this power, faith and love. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit or a spirit of wisdom and revelation. What for? In the knowledge of him. Wisdom and revelation so that we would know him, in knowledge of him. So that the eyes of our understanding, being enlightened or full of light, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. So what is this power given to us for? That we would know the hope of the calling that we have. And here's part of the calling. What are the riches of his glory in his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which comes through the Spirit, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand, at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now it's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. It quickens us, right? Our mortal bodies, not just our physical bodies, but body, soul, and spirit. So this power quickens us. Far above all principalities. In other words, every root, every demonic thing, every evil thing, every mindset of the flesh, every power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in what's to come. So everything, every root, everything that causes us to be rooted in bitterness and to not be able to make the transplant that they were talking about, what Rudy and Liz were talking about, making the transplant to be rooted and grounded in that love, God has given us the power in the Holy Spirit to be able to overcome that. And he's put all things under his feet. How many things? All things. All things. So there's not anything that can undermine this. And gave him, meaning Jesus, to be the head over all things of the church, which is his body, you and I. The fullness, the church is the fullness in him who fills all in all. That is powerful. I encourage you to look at that on your own. I know I went through it pretty as in depth as I can, given the time thing. But if you look at it yourself, you'll get some inspiration from it. Now, the words to know and knowledge. to know him and the knowledge of the glory, of the inheritance and all of this. It's very interesting words. To know, it means to see. So he's given us the power to see or perceive something that will stick out, something that is there but we may not be able to see. And to be conscious of it so that those roots that are down there don't stay underneath the ground. We can exercise this power of the Holy Spirit to be able to see in that manner. And then the knowledge of him is, the word means it's a recognition or a full disclosure. To know in Greek, in this case, is not just to have an intellectual knowledge of something or to see it naturally. So it's not just an intellectual thing, but it means to be able to gaze at something that's remarkable. Something that's just out of the ordinary, something that's even supernatural, and to understand it. So Paul prays for the church to receive the ability to gaze at the supernatural dimension of God that will give us full discernment, that would allow us, one, to know our hope. This is right in that scripture there, to know the hope for that God has given us for our lives, for now and in the future. Also to know the inheritance that we have as sons and daughters of God. And a glimpse at God's power, which Paul calls exceedingly great. And that's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. So that we could have a gaze at something that's so incredible, even supernatural, and have an understanding with it that passes our intellectual capacity. That's the power of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, or one of the aspects of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. How many of us are actually moving in all of that? None of us. But I don't say that as a condemnation, but this is what we have to know now and in the future. This is the thing that God wants us to come awake to. So I'm praying, God, I'll pray right now, Lord, awaken me and awaken my brothers and sisters here today. The power that you've already put in us. Lord, it sounds like science fiction, doesn't it? It sounds like, oh, I have my life, and now we go to church and I hear this other stuff. And it sounds so way out. But it's not way out. It's not way out. When we come to the place where we could start to believe what's in this Bible, or that Bible, as actually true, and the way to do that is we need to be awakened to it. When we do, and like Rudy said earlier, a process, step by step, it's not going to come all at once. We couldn't handle the power all at once. It just would blow us away. But step by step, if we remain committed to the process, God will do it. See, you won't do it, I won't do it. We can't. We don't have the strength, even working out. We can't. With 6 pounds weights, or even 10 pound weights. You can't do it. Physically, it's not that doesn't work that way, but God will do what seems to be impossible. And it was part, this ability is part of what was imparted to the disciples and to us when they heard the call. This is our part. We need to hear it, which you're all here hearing it now. Then we need to obey. Lord, I don't understand this, but I say, yes, Lord. That's all obey means. Doesn't mean doing something. It just means your heart saying yes. And then what's the third thing? It's in the waiting. It's in the waiting. Who likes that? Don't raise your hands because I know you'd all be lying if you did that. Nobody likes to wait. We don't like to wait. But you know what? God is one of the things that God is showing us through all of this, even with the stuff with Ariel and Chris and there's a whole bunch of things that God is revealing through it. No, but good things. Not to make them feel ashamed. But they've been very faithful in a lot of ways, and a lot of faithful in a very practical ways to people, just without any expectation of anything back. And God is showing them through this what would seem like a real pain in the neck, and is a pain in the neck. The goodness of people's hearts to respond to what people, to what they've done already. You know? Right, it's the sowing and reaping part. And many other things, but I really don't want to get into into that. But this, but God is, but it depends on the way that we look at stuff. You know, do we believe God is good? Do I hear? Am I? Will I obey? And will I wait, knowing that God is unchanging? The power that Jesus Christ has imparted to us is the same in the waiting as it is if it was manifested. And that's one of the things that he wants to show us. Anyway, I'm getting off the beaten path here. Let me paint a little picture. Now, in the Bible, it says in the beginning that the Holy Spirit hovered over the chaos, right? So the earth was void. It means chaos. The earth was formless, didn't have any form, and it was void. It means chaos. And the Holy Spirit was sent and hovered over this chaos. And when he hovered over the chaos, God, through the Holy Spirit, was able to impart or imprint his order over what had no order, what was chaotic, right? So with that, the laws of physics, the laws of chemistry, gravity, you know, all of that came into being. And then the Lord formed the seas out of chaos. He formed the seas, he formed the earth, he formed the animals, he formed people, everything that exists, he formed out of nothing, out of chaos, right? And what happened was when all of that happened, there was peace on the earth. Everything was in balance. Everything was in order. It was God's order, and everything was in peace. There was balance, and there was harmony. Then God gave man dominion over the earth. And, you know, we know what happened, right? Man exercised his ability to choose in a way that didn't obey. So the second step, they heard the call of God, but they didn't obey. So they didn't take the second step. They didn't obey. When that happened, you know what happened. The order was dislodged. The order of God was dislodged, and sin entered the world. And when sin entered the world, it affected everything. It didn't affect just man's soul. It affected everything. That's why the entire creation waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Am I still on? Okay. Everything was affected, and everything came out of balance. Because once one thing is out of balance, everything is then out of balance, right? So what was God's restorative remedy? It was Jesus Christ, right? So he sends Jesus Christ in the form of man, not in a spirit, but he came in the form of man to relate to man, to reorder, and to bring in a new order. And after Jesus left, what did he do? He left and he sent the Holy Spirit. And so that those who would believe in Jesus, and that Jesus was Messiah, and that he was the answer, God's answer, to remedy this this disorder, when we believe that, the Holy Spirit comes in. And what happens is that the Holy Spirit comes again, and he hovers once again. But this time, he's not hovering over the earth to form matter out of chaos. He's hovering over us. He enters our hearts and our minds, and he hovers over us to form, out of chaos, out of our disorder, a new order. Can you get that picture? And that's what we're in the process of. We're in the process of the Holy Spirit, this baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we celebrated last week at Pentecost. When we become awake to it, awake to the power, that means more than just being able to speak in tongues, more than being able to prophesy, or more than being able to use any of the gifts of the Spirit, but to actually become what God has originally ordered us to become. He sent the Holy Spirit to hover over us to give us the ability to do that. Amen? And when that happens, he's going to create a perfect order, not just in the world, the perfect order, but within you and I. Everything will be in harmony, everything will be in balance. And when we're in harmony and balance, we'll be in harmony and balance with everybody else. Right? Faith and love. We'll have faith, and we'll have be able to move in that love. Those were the two prerequisites, right, that Paul had prayed. And so the way that he does that is through his Holy Spirit, God imparts wisdom and revelatory ability. The spirit, or a spirit, of wisdom and revelation. And he's given this just by grace. We don't earn it. It's only God's love, God's grace. And he imprints that onto our soul, and everyone that would hear, everyone that would go to that place and hear, obey and wait. And when we do that, those words will be fulfilled. The words of his order as he speaks that into us. The revelatory wisdom will guide us into all truth and restore our oneness with God. That's the reorder. So when we feel overwhelmed, and we're in this process now, right? Because we're not through that yet. He's still hovering over each one of us. When we feel overwhelmed, or when we feel scared, or when we feel confused, which is another way of saying we're inwardly chaotic, we can remember that the Holy Spirit is already in us. He's already addressing the chaos. We need to remember at that time that the chaos that we're feeling, whichever form that it's taking, whether it's in fear or anxiety, whatever it might be, is a product and a residue of what we used to be. That there's a new spiritual order and we can enter into it. But we don't enter into it with our natural senses. And that's where we have a problem sometimes, because we see existence, reality, just by this very narrow understanding of what reality is. You know, by what we see and what we experience. Which is part of it, but that's not the entire reality, right? The things that are unseen, are really the greater reality. And that's what we're coming awake to. So we can't do it through the natural senses. So how would we do it? Well, through the Spirit's leading, right? And that's what the Scripture says, that those who are led by the Spirit, these are the sons and daughters of God. So we're led to becoming the Holy, through the Holy Spirit, sons and daughters of God in the process as he hovers over us. And that's Romans 8:14, if you want to look it up yourself. Those who are led by the Spirit, these are the sons and daughters of God. So when we become born again, what did Jesus say? You become born of the Spirit.
Yes, hallelujah.
Right? So you're not just born in the natural anymore. You're born of the Spirit. Now you have the capability of being led by the Spirit, which would make you a son or a daughter of God. And now you have the power of the Holy Spirit that resides within to actually make that happen as he hovers over your chaos. Is it making sense? I've been in a lot of chaos. That's why I really, you know, I got this. So when I was born, my natural man, when I was born, I was blind. I was born blind. I was born into a chaotic world that was under sin's influence. But now, when I became born again, the Holy Spirit imprints on my soul, as he hovers over me, the ability to see, to hear, and to understand the things that exist in the unseen world of God. That's for each of us. That ability is there. What we have to do is access it. And the way to do it is we have to find, God bless you, we have to find the secret place. Super important. We've been talking about contemplative prayer. That's what it is. Contemplative prayer is finding the secret place. Now, we'll start with maybe a physical place, because, you know, we're creatures of this realm, and we are physical creatures. So we can start with there. But I want to tell you, as you practice the presence of God, as you practice it, you won't need to go to a physical place, because you are the church. You're carrying the presence of God. It's becoming aware of it. That's all. So it's a matter, the secret place just helps you to put aside some of the chaos, put aside some of the distractions. And that's what Paul meant when he said 1 Corinthians 2:9, I love this scripture, I've said it a million times, but I'll say it again. Things which eyes have not seen, nor ear have heard, nor imagined, nor mind has imagined, these are the things that God has in store for us and will be revealed by his Spirit. That is exciting, isn't it? The ability to hear and see spiritually, what do we call that? Discernment, okay, we call it discernment, but I'm going for revelation here. Something revealed, in which I read before. God has given us in Ephesians 1:17. Father, grant the church, Paul is saying, that spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can see the unseen by revelation. A spirit of wisdom gives us insight to know what to do with what's been revealed once it's been revealed. We have the spirit of revelation that shows us these things in the unseen, and then the spirit of wisdom to know what to do. Right? Yeah, because seeing it and then going, you know, that wouldn't be any good. So you don't want to be spiritually dull. So God says, oh, I realize that they're going to be dull. Let me give them the spirit of wisdom as well. Right. You know, and it really falls, excuse me. Proverbs 4, if you read Proverbs 4, is all about wisdom. God, the Father, is imploring his people to seek and get wisdom above all things. It's so important, you know, I wasn't going to mention this, but wisdom in Greek is the word is Sophia. And what happened was, because people could not get their mind around Sophia being, because it says, seek her. So it's in a feminine tense. They actually made Sophia into a capital S, and so then Sophia became a spirit, like a person. And see how we can easily just pervert something that God has done. But Sophia, small s in Greek, is wisdom. It's not a person. It's not a spirit. I have no idea why that's happening, John. Okay. Anyway. Verse 7 of that Proverbs 4 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Verse 10 says, it adds years to our life. Verse 11 and 12, it leads us on the right path. So we don't know which way to go. Wisdom will show us the right path. It says, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Now, good teaching is important, isn't it? I mean, we love good teachers, and it's good to have good teaching. But good teaching alone cannot give us discernment. And that's the word you were using before, Steve. Only revelation can give us discernment. But revelation doesn't come automatically because you said yes to Jesus. It's not an automatic thing. So how do we get it? Well, we need to pray. And we need to be specific and relentless to pray specifically for God's revelatory grace. Yes. Because God gave us the Holy Spirit, even in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's many aspects of it. Our job is to exercise what God has given us, right? By reason of use. We exercise. We ask God, revelatory grace. And you know, we mentioned Wade Tale. One of Wade Tale's favorite scriptures, he spoke it all the time, was Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me, and those that seek me diligently will find me. Now, God loves all of us, right? He loves his entire creation. But there's this special place in God's heart for those who will diligently seek him. To be diligent means to be consistent and relentless in our seeking of God, where it becomes the most important thing in our life. Now, how do I do that? I mean, I've heard this preached before, and I've asked myself, okay, well, I want to seek God diligently. I really do want you, Lord, and everything that the preacher is saying. I'm not exactly sure how to do that. Anybody feel that way? Right? You're just like, well, I'm a little hazy about that. But God is so good that he's even supplied a way for us to know how to pray. Romans 8:26 says, even when we don't know how to pray as we ought, the Spirit will make intercession for us. Isn't that incredible? I don't know how to pray, Lord. Well, don't worry about it. My Spirit will show you. You know, my Spirit will make intercession for you. Now, in the Pentecostal church, we've taken that scripture to mean, well, that the Spirit is going to speak in tongues, which it could mean partly that, but it means much more than that. It literally means that the Spirit will pray the intention of your heart for you. So what is our job? Be intentional. To be sincere. To be diligent. And desire the gift of grace. And if we do, the Spirit will make intercession for us. Yes. It sounds simplistic, right? God didn't want to make this hard. He wasn't trying to trick us. We've made it hard. Theology has made it hard. Okay, so you might now say, okay, diligently and sincerely. I'm not quite sure even what that means. How do I do that? How do I know that I'm being sincere? And how do I know that I'm being diligent? If you look at Colossians 3, 2 to 3 in the New Living Translation, it can help you. This is what it says. This is what it says. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Yes. Now, that's opposed to thinking about heaven. I'm not talking about just sitting there thinking about heaven, picturing the clouds and, I'm not talking about that. Let heaven fill your thoughts. How do you think you'd go about doing that? You'd go to the secret place. You just say, Lord, let heaven fill my thoughts. Let heaven fill my thoughts. What did you do? You were diligent to go to the secret place. It sounds easy, but it's really difficult to do. I'm making light of it, but it's not easy to do. I know that. I struggle with it. The second part of that scripture says, do not think only about the things down here on earth, for you died when Christ did, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Your real life, as opposed to your projected life. Now, we've talked about this, right? Your projected life is what? Your persona. Your persona is the way that you project yourself out, the way you want to be seen, or maybe even the way other people see you. So, and that's okay. That's okay. It's okay to have a persona. You don't want to be totally transparent before everyone, because there are a lot of nasty people out there who take advantage of you. But you don't want to start believing your persona. You don't want to believe that that's who you are. So, letting heaven fill your thoughts is a type of spiritual seeing. It's the contemplative prayer that we've been talking about. And it's the active contemplative prayer, not where you're sitting in a monastery somewhere waiting for God to do something to you. You're expecting God because He's already in you to arise. So all you're doing is stilling yourself to let it arise in you. And then you need to have faith enough to believe what's coming up, to believe that voice of God. See, because contemplative prayer allows you to see what's actually real. And then the wisdom that God gives you will give you the tools to navigate what you see without judgment, without guilt, and without having to decide whether or not you wanted to believe it. You just receive it. Wisdom, revelation will keep us on the path. So, in truth, if we're going to remain believers, we're going to need the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to keep us from deception. And even the deception that comes through religion. See, because religion glorifies the past, what God has done, and idolizes that same thing. It makes an idol out of what God has already done, but God is continually doing. So we want to acknowledge the things that have happened, what God has done, and we praise Him and thank Him for it, but have an expectation that God is going to continue. He's still Creator. He didn't give up His title. He's still creating. See, religious people, something will happen, and you see it. You can look at it in Protestantism, and not just Protestantism. When the Protestant church was formed outside of the Catholic Church, what happened was Martin Luther, and there were many others, people started to follow them, and the people who followed them pitched their tent upon the revelation that was given to Luther and to the other these other people. They pitched their tents around these things, and then they fortified their camp with laws, doctrines, ordinances, but they were completely man-made. If you do that, and you've seen it in history, it's not like I'm making this up. When you do that, or if people have done that, when the Holy Spirit should move past what he's already done, they can't understand it. They can't follow it. And many times they'll attack it as either being ungodly or blasphemous. So in a sense, religion creates God out of the imagination of man. And we call that theology. It's man's attempt at trying to understand God, the finite, trying to understand the infinite. Now, in Ephesians 1:17, that is so rich, that entire portion of Scripture. The second part of 17 says that God would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we might grow in the knowledge of God. It's not that we would just know it, but that we would grow, that you might grow in the knowledge of God. See, a religion assumes they already know. So a good saying would be for us to remember, what I know will help me, what I think I know will hurt me. Yeah, we need the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we know the difference. And God is really good at that. If we listen, he's very good at telling us, wait a minute, Roy, you're off the track there, bud. He still loves me, but tells me I'm off the track. So what do? I get back on the track. Okay, Lord, well, what's the track? Okay, so all knowledge is useful, isn't it? To know stuff is good. Knowledge is power. But much of the knowledge that we have is general knowledge. And it's where sometimes we can get off track, because when we know something generally, we have to interpret it, what that knowledge really means and how it applies. And so we get off track a lot of times. And that's why you got so many distinctions even in the Protestant church. There's so many. It started with solo scriptura, scripture only, and as opposed to following the Pope. So what happens was, when you have the solo scriptura, there's so many different interpretations of the scripture that you invent, or man has invented, what's called the paper pope. So you don't have a flesh pope anymore, but now you have a paper pope. And you have all this division again, once again. What the spirit of revelation will do, it will release specific knowledge that will address specific issues that you and I might be going through, and release it at critical moments so that we have the information at our hands right then. It's like having a spiritual Google in your hand. Don't you love Google? I love Google. I mean, I got that little thing, I just punch in a couple of things and there's the answer. Really good. Well, that spiritual Google is within you. It's called the Holy Spirit. With revelatory knowledge, you thrive. Without it, you perish. And Proverbs 29:18 pretty much really supports that. It says, where there's no vision, the people perish. And the word vision there is interpreted in certain other versions of the Bible, translations, as revelation. So where there's no revelation, it says, like in the New King James, it says, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. They cast off order. They go back into chaos. See, we want to be with. It says that those who are led of the Spirit of God, these are the children, the sons and daughters of God, right? So we want to be sons and daughters of God. But in order to do that, in order to carry the benefit or the blessing of inheritance, there's also a responsibility, right? you're going to be a son of God, there's a responsibility that you carry. And without revelatory knowledge and that spirit of wisdom, we won't be fit to carry the weightiness of that responsibility. And that's really what casting off restraint means. It's referring to this casting off this balance and the perfect order that we only can get through God, and which would define us as children of God. And as a result, you go back into chaos and all the negative stuff that's involved with that. See, knowledge, the word knowledge that's used here in Greek has the same root as the Hebrew in Genesis 1, where it says that Adam knew Eve. There's an intimacy that it speaks about, this knowing. In other words, you could say it this way: Adam experienced Eve on an intimate level. He experienced Eve. So Proverbs 29:18, you could read it this way, and this is the way I felt the Lord gave it to me. So let me give it to you this way, and you can take it or leave it. Without an intimate knowledge of God that comes from an experience of His presence, the people will cast off perfect order and step back into chaos. That's what I got. It does seem that a lot of people have cast off restraint in the world nowadays, doesn't it? The world seems chaotic. Every country is chaotic. I mean, I don't know whether it's just the way it's been reported or if this is really what's happening, but I mean, what? This incredible chaos. I'm not even talking about right, wrong, which side politically you're on or whatever. It's just, it can't be that everybody is moving in the order of God and there's so much tension. Worse than tension. Conflict. Something is amiss. We need the intimacy that comes through the experience of the divine order. And we can grow in that intimacy. We grow in it experience by experience, or to put it in biblical terms, from glory to glory. In John, in chapter 16, Jesus is talking to His disciples and He tells them, I still have a lot of stuff to tell you. But you can't bear that right now. I always thought about that. I was, wow, what is He going to tell us? I mean, isn't the Bible complete? What, is He going to write more chapters? He's already in heaven. I don't think that's what He meant. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that's not what He meant. What I'm thinking is this. And again, it's just a theory. It's my theory. I believe the Holy Spirit is giving us spiritual eyes in which we are growing, right, in this knowledge. And He's revealing to us, and will reveal to us, continue to reveal to us, what's unseen in the actual Scripture already. All right, haven't you read the Scripture? You read it one time, you got a blessing out of it, blah, blah, blah. And then you've gone back maybe some time later and you read it again. You said, wow, I saw that before. And so something else was revealed. And then maybe, I don't know how often you do it, but it seems to me like over the course of all these years that I've been reading the Scripture, that there are things that I read that I say, you know what, I have studied that Scripture. I have never seen that before. How's that possible? It's a revelation of the Holy Spirit. I got to believe that. He's given me the ability, and you, if you're diligent, if you do it, to see and discern what's always been right there in front of your eyes. And when these hidden things become revealed to our spirits, they will give us an intimate knowing of Him on another level, another step. So much so that after a while, we will become one with the things that we're reading. Because those things are aspects of Him, right? The Word of God is the written Word of God, is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Same. And that's his purpose for us. Isn't that the call, that we would become one? Isn't that what Jesus said? Father, I pray for them that they would be one as we're one. Them and you and me, them and ye, me and you, them and that, back and back, and all the rest of that. That's what he really desires. That's God's heart for his people, for his kids. I personally believe that God has a lot more to show us. I think he's going to blow our minds. And all we have to do is pursue him diligently. And as we do, this intimate knowledge of him will become part of our living experience, part of this realm. It's what is meant with thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. See, it doesn't just happen. It's given to us, but we have to diligently seek it so that it becomes part of our living experience. That's exciting. Because you start living from a different perspective. Instead of waiting for the next negative thing to happen, you can say, Lord, I can't wait to see what you're going to do today. So no matter what happens that particular day, you know that God is in that particular thing and is going to show you something that you would have not been able to see had he not allowed that particular thing to happen. Gives you a totally different perspective. It's so much more positive way of approaching. And I'm not talking about positive thinking. I'm talking about living by the positive seeing the unseen. The positiveness that comes from that. A living experience. Then all the stuff that goes on in our lives will begin to make sense as we see it. And we see the patterns and the pathways that God is actually forming. You know, it's been said that vision, this type of vision gives pain a purpose. And it really makes sense when you consider that God doesn't do anything random. It's not random that God, when God does something, it's not randomly done. God has an order. Now, we may not ever get to understand the particular things that happen, but what we will understand is that God's primary focus for us is being played out. And we will become to believe that whether we understand it intellectually or not. Because remember, I said the knowledge that God has given us is not an intellectual knowledge. It's a knowledge of knowing through experience. So we experience something and we see how it fits the pattern and how it molds the path to God. And what is his primary purpose for us? It's a personal transformation, isn't it? To not be bound by the blindness that comes through sin. To come into the perfect order. Each encounter, Revelation will give us these encounters. Because they exist already, they just need to be revealed to us, right? So Revelation will give us these encounters. And that these encounters, which are godly, divine encounters, will change us forever. You know why? Because truth experienced is never forgotten. It becomes very part of who you are. Become true. Each encounter becomes a road marker on the journey to thy kingdom come for each one of us. Each encounter then becomes part of our testimony of faith. And what do we know? When we take our testimony of faith and we mix it with the blood of the Lamb, what happens? We overcome everything. Nothing can stand in front of us. Nothing, nothing. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Every obstacle out of our way. So, I'd like to end this by just praying with you, if you don't mind, if you would stand. Just stand and let me pray with you. And I want to release something over us. I believe the Lord, I'm not just doing this in my own understanding and strength. I believe the Lord showed me to do this. And so I'm doing it by faith. I hope you receive it by faith. Father, we love you. We thank you. We worship you. We honor you. We recognize you as the one true God, the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, I ask you this morning, because you have put it on my heart to pray this. So I don't do it in my own strength, Lord, but I'm trying to follow what I believe you've told me to do for my brothers and sisters here today. Lord, please release your spirit of wisdom and revelation that we might become enlightened to see and to know the hope of your calling and to know the riches of your glory and to know the riches of your inheritance in us, your saints, the church. I ask in Jesus' holy name. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a good week. I'll see you Tuesday.